The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon. Red, itchy skin may be sign of an allergy. Question. A reader wrote to you about a recent flare-up of atopic dermatitis. I'd like to suggest that this person consider allergy testing to identify what may have caused it. I have had eczema all my life and usually wear gloves for cleaning, dishes, gardening, etc. to avoid most problems. A couple of years ago, I had a severe breakout that lasted months. It was difficult to do anything as my hands were so swollen, itchy, and painful. I went to a naturopathic physician who did a simple blood test to identify the allergen. The test determined that I was off the charts allergic to eggs. I had been eating an egg every day for breakfast for the whole time period of the breakout. While I had been eating eggs sporadically all my life, I had never eaten them every day until then. The doctor suggested I stop eating eggs to see if it would clear up my eczema. After 6 weeks, it did. I can now eat eggs sporadically, as I used to, without too much difficulty, but not daily. Answer. Allergic reactions to eggs are frequently seen among babies and young children with eczema. This appears to be less common for adults. Nonetheless, both kids and adults with hard-to-treat eczema or atopic dermatitis may have multiple allergic sensitivities, and that's cited in the Journal of the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology, September 2018. As you note, avoiding an allergic trigger when possible may be the best treatment. Question. My 60-year-old husband had his colonoscopy 2 years ago. All was normal. Shortly thereafter, he started experiencing many bouts of constipation and occasional loose stools. The gastroenterologist performed another colonoscopy this year and found nothing abnormal. My husband has had a breath test to rule out an infection with H. pylori. He's been checked for allergies, none, and has lost weight. Crohn's and celiac disease have been ruled out. We believe his gut flora has been compromised. Can you suggest a course of action for a 6-foot-tall, 175-pound man who takes no medication and is otherwise healthy? Answer. The preparation for colonoscopy involves cleansing the colon. There is some evidence to suggest that this cleansing process can disrupt the balance of intestinal microbes, cited in the European Journal of Gastroenterology and Hepatology, May 2016. Your husband's physician may wish to order a stool analysis to detect whether there is a microbial imbalance. If there is alteration of the microbial ecology, probiotics may help restore this natural balance, and that's cited in Advanced Biomedical Research, June 25th, 2018. How does vitamin D3 kill mice? Question. I had a little mouse problem, so I went to buy some mouse poison. The first brand I bought turned out to contain a nerve toxin. I didn't want to mess with that, so I returned it and searched for Decon. I'd always heard Decon used a potent blood thinner called warfarin. I was surprised to find that Decon now contains vitamin D3 instead. How does that work? Answer. Many mouse and rat poisons used to contain anticoagulants like warfarin. This drug works by causing internal bleeding. Warfarin is still used in human medicine in carefully monitored doses to prevent blood clots. While some rodenticides may still contain warfarin, there are now other options. Bromethalin is a neurotoxin. Cholecalciferol, or vitamin D3, has been used for decades. At high doses, this hormone causes blood calcium to rise in toxic levels. This leads to kidney damage, bleeding, and heart problems. Question. I have osteoarthritis of the knees and back. Some days I can barely get out of bed. My primary care doctor advised me to take hydrocodone every 8 hours as needed. Taking opioids regularly worries me, so I haven't taken this medicine recently. What else can I do to deal with the pain and stiffness? Answer. You and millions of other arthritis sufferers are caught between the proverbial rock and hard place. Oral medicines like opioids or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Celebrex, Voltaren, ibuprofen, naproxen have potentially serious side effects. In a study published in JAMA, March 6, 2018, opioids proved no better than medications like acetaminophen, NSAIDs, and antidepressants like amitriptyline, or liniments containing capsaicin or lidocaine. Topical NSAIDs such as diclofenac gel, which is Voltaren, or patch, called the Flector patch, the Voltaren gel, etc., may have fewer systemic side effects than oral medicines, cited in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, May 2018. You can learn more about the pros and cons of topical NSAIDs, as well as non-drug approaches to easing joint pain, by going online to peoplespharmacy.com. For your health, from the Costco Connection, young at heart. A poor diet can affect heart health at an early age. We know that heart disease affects everyone, but when you say everyone, most people think about adults, not children. According to the American Heart Association, children as young as 8 have or are developing hypertension, high cholesterol, and other underlying conditions of heart disease, thereby increasing their risk of a heart attack or stroke in adulthood. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 1 in 6 kids has hypertension. This unsettling situation weighs on the mind of Marissa Kent, a registered dietitian and mom who says, I worry about the health status of our children. Having diseases like hypertension, high cholesterol, and elevated glucose for years can cause long-term damage to tissues, arteries, and nerves. The American Heart Association emphasizes fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy products, lean poultry and fish, nuts, legumes, non-tropical vegetable oil such as olive and canola oil, and limits on saturated fats, trans fats, red meat, sodium, and sugar for a heart-healthy diet. Sodium. Kent says that to help reduce their children's sodium intake, parents should avoid providing too many processed snacks and focus more on fresh fruits and vegetables. And read labels, she advises. There are many hidden sources of sodium in white bread, deli meats, canned soups, chicken nuggets, pizza, and canned vegetables. Choose products with the least sodium per serving. And note any hidden sodium source, such as monosodium glutamate, aka MSG, or sodium benzoate. Kent also suggests making low in sodium fruits and veggies available at every meal and snack. Potassium-rich foods such as yogurt, bananas, greens, oranges, and sweet potatoes counteract the effects of sodium and help reduce blood pressure. When eating out, ask for no salt to be added to meals. Sugar. Kids should have no more than 18 grams of sugar per day on average, and I would suggest no more than 5 to 7 grams in the food item of choice, says Kent. She suggests preparing and planning ahead for meals and snacks. Plan for fun foods like cookies and milk as opposed to a candy dish. Read ingredient lists. Sugar goes by several names, including syrup, malt syrup, nectar, and ingredients ending with the suffix OSE, such as sucrose or dextrose. Compare labels and choose the product with the least added sugar per serving. Encourage children to drink more water and explore infused drinks such as water with a squeeze of lemon or crushed strawberries and raspberry for a punch-like flavor. Fruits and vegetables. As for fruits and vegetables, Kent suggests fun and simple ideas. Offer them with every meal and snack, she says. Allow kids to pick them out in the store and get their hands dirty in the kitchen. Make them accessible and within reach on kitchen counters and in refrigerators. Fruits and vegetables such as berries, grapes, and rhubarb are nature's natural sweet and sour candies and don't require much preparation. Try combining snacks, apple slices with peanut butter, carrots or celery sticks with hummus, nuts and mixed fruit, yogurt and berries. Be creative by topping salads with seasonal fruit, substitute applesauce for oil and baked goods, and add veggies to smoothies. Children eat fruits and veggies in different ways. For example, they may not like something steamed, but enjoy it sautéed. So try till you find out how they like it. Finally, involve them in a vegetable garden. If they grow it, chances are they'll love to eat it. Registered dietitian Marissa Kent says, parents are the gatekeepers of what is allowed in the house and what is offered at meals and snacks. Parents decide what to eat, and children decide how much. Ideally, meals include all food groups, and snacks are what the child missed at the meal. Many times, meal intake is improved if fewer snacks are offered. After a couple of months, kids' palates adjust. Kent suggests modeling healthy eating habits to help them understand what is better for their health. Hopefully, with a healthy diet, exercise, and good habits, kids like adults will improve their current and future health and lower their risk factors by giving their heart all of the love it needs. Blood work. Also from the Costco Connection by Linda Bernstein, PharmD, and President and CEO of Vita Media Corporation, a medical communications company. Effective strategies for fighting high blood cholesterol. February each year is Heart Healthy Month. Heart disease is still the number one cause of death in the United States. High blood cholesterol is a major risk factor for heart disease. Here are some strategies you can use in the battle against high blood cholesterol that will help reduce your risk of heart disease. Know what cholesterol is. Cholesterol is a waxy, fat-like substance that is found in all cells. It is formed by the body and is used to make hormones, vitamin D, aided by sunshine, and substances that help in digestion. It is also found in foods from animal sources such as egg yolks, meat, and cheese. Too much cholesterol in the blood can result in the formation of plaque that sticks to and builds up in artery walls, causes vessel narrowing, and sometimes blocks blood flow. While high blood cholesterol has no symptoms, these blockages can result in leg pain when you walk due to peripheral vascular disease, angina, chest pain, heart attack, and stroke. There are several types of cholesterol in the body. High-density lipoprotein, or HDL, is known as the good cholesterol because it does not contribute to blood vessel disease. HDL carries cholesterol from other parts of the body back to the liver for removal. Low-density lipoprotein, or LDL, is called the bad cholesterol because high LDL levels can result in plaque buildup in arteries. Very low-density lipoprotein, or VLDL, is also a bad cholesterol, but differs from LDL in that VLDL carries triglycerides, another type of fat, while LDL carries cholesterol. Get tested. It is important to find out your body's cholesterol level by taking a blood test. Sometimes additional tests are needed to further clarify your condition. Live a heart-healthy lifestyle. A heart-healthy lifestyle starting at a young age, including a low-fat diet, regular exercise, not smoking, and doing your best to manage your stress, can go a long way toward reducing your risk of heart disease. Another added benefit of this lifestyle is achieving and maintaining a healthy weight. Seek proper treatment. If your high blood cholesterol is not reduced by lifestyle changes alone, a cholesterol-lowering medication may be needed. The 2018 American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association guideline on the management of blood cholesterol emphasizes the need to customize treatment to the patient. Factors such as your age, race, current and past medical conditions, including kidney disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure, medications, weight, family history, 10-year risk, or lifetime risk of developing heart disease, and whether you are a smoker are taken into account when selecting the proper treatment. The cost of treatment should also be discussed. Statins are the most commonly used cholesterol-lowering medications. If the statins are not doing the job, other medicines and treatments may be tried. You may also be treated for other conditions, such as high blood pressure or diabetes, as part of an overall plan to reduce your risk of heart disease. Get answers. If your doctor recommends a medicine to help reduce your cholesterol, or really any new medication, here are some important questions to ask. Name and purpose. What is the name of the medicine, and what is it supposed to do? Instructions. How and when do I take it, and for how long? Onset. When will the medicine start working, and how will I know? Precautions. What activities are the medicines, foods, or drinks, including alcohol, should I avoid while taking the medicine? Side effects. What are important side effects, and when should I report them? Missed dose. What should I do if I miss a dose? Storage. How should I store it? Review all prescriptions and non-prescription medicines, vitamins, and herbal supplements you take with your health care provider and your pharmacist before starting a new one. Good luck in the battle against high blood cholesterol. CoQ10 and heart health. Coenzyme Q10, or CoQ10, is found in nearly every cell in your body and is necessary for cells to function properly. CoQ10 exists inside the energy-producing part of cells, the mitochondria, where it facilitates the production of cellular energy from the food you eat. The highest concentrations of cell mitochondria are found in the hardest working cells in the body, including the heart, making CoQ10 an important supplement for heart function. Several factors can adversely affect CoQ10 production in the body, including older age, existing health issues, and medication use. Certain statin drugs can reduce CoQ10 levels in the body. CoQ10 has been studied at various levels, and common doses are between 100 and 400 milligrams daily, depending on CoQ10 needs. Thus, supplementation may be a great option to help replenish CoQ10 levels. Other supplements you can take to heart. Making some lifestyle adjustments, such as eating a healthy diet, engaging in regular exercise, maintaining a healthy body weight, and managing stress can help support heart health. Consider adding heart-healthy supplements to your wellness regimen. Omega-3 fatty acids. So EPA and DHA, I'm not going to try to pronounce this. Omega-3 fatty acids help support a healthy heart. EPA and DHA are primarily found in fatty fish such as salmon, herring, and sardines. The American Heart Association recommends at least 2 servings of fatty fish per week, which equates to 250 milligrams EPA and DHA daily. However, the average American adult does not consume enough fatty fish to get their EPA and DHA omega-3 fatty acids. A fish oil supplement can help fill that nutrient gap. And phytosterols or plant sterols and stanols consumed as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease. Products containing at least 400 milligrams per serving of plant sterols and stanols eaten twice a day with meals for a daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease. Bean, B-E-A-N, Bean benefits. These tiny plant proteins deliver big health perks. Beans could be the ultimate multitasking food. Whether they're canned, dried, frozen, these legumes, often referred to as pulses, are one of the few foods that deliver a healthful combination of protein and fiber at the same time. Plus, they're fat and cholesterol-free. Not to mention quick, convenient, and inexpensive. Here are just a few of the ways they can enhance your health. Balance blood sugar. Beans are a smart choice for controlling blood sugar, especially if you're one of the 29 million Americans with diabetes. They're so potent that eating beans every day has been shown to lower both fasting blood glucose and insulin. How so? Pulses contain compounds that naturally inhibit enzymes responsible for starch digestion, much in the same way certain blood sugar medications work. That makes them less likely to raise blood sugar than many other carbohydrate-heavy foods like potatoes or bread. Cancer protection. Cultures that regularly consume beans tend to have lower rates of cancer. Perhaps that's because beans boast an arsenal of anti-cancer nutrients such as phytochemicals and antioxidants which guard cells from DNA damage that can lead to cancerous mutations. Then there's fiber, which may guard against colon cancer. During digestion, that fiber travels throughout the gut to the colon, where it's fermented by bacteria, producing special cancer-fighting substances known as short-chain fatty acids. Just one cup of beans provides 15 grams of roughage, or approximately half your daily requirement. Easier weight loss. What if there were a food that could help you slim down with no calorie cutting required? A 2016 American Journal of Clinical Nutrition study reports that people who ate roughly 3/4 of a cup of cooked beans daily for 6 weeks shed close to 3/4 of a pound without making any other changes to their diets. Experts suspect that beans are a powerful appetite suppressant for two reasons. First, their fiber is gradually digested so it sticks to your ribs. Then, their ample protein, about 15 grams per cup, encourages your gut to release hormones that send signals to your brain telling you you're full. Another bonus, they may be even more satisfying than meat. When Danish researchers fed men breakfast patties made from beans, pork, or veal, the bean eaters ate 12% fewer calories later on at lunch. A healthier heart. You may not realize it, but your body makes its own cholesterol supply, manufacturing roughly 3 to 4 times as much cholesterol as you eat in a day. Eating beans 4 or more times a week could trim your risk of heart disease by a hefty 22%. Pulses contain a unique protein called 7S globulin that interferes with the body's ability to manufacture cholesterol. In addition, they also house a special kind of fiber called soluble fiber that whisks cholesterol out of your gut before it's able to be absorbed. Health experts recommend eating 3 cups of beans per week. However, most of us don't even eat 1 cup. If you'd like to eat more of these power foods but aren't sure where to start, try tossing some chickpeas or pinto beans into a bowl of soup or salad. You can also swap in black beans or lentils for half the meat in tacos, meatloaf, or meatballs. Or puree and fold black or cannellini beans into brownies or cookies for a guilt-free treat. Second opinion from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Question. A spot was seen on my lung on a chest x-ray taken for another reason. My doctor said it's unlikely to be cancer, but scheduled a follow-up CT scan just in case. How does my doctor know it's probably not cancer? Answer. A single white spot on a lung, solitary lung nodule, is a common finding on chest imaging done for another reason. Although most nodules are non-cancerous, it can be worth examining the finding for cancer. If detected early, lung cancer is typically treatable and even curable with surgery. Most of the time, lung nodules are scars or markings from a previous inflammation or infection. A non-cancerous tumor, which is a hamartoma, H-A-M-A-R, hamartoma, T-O-M-A, also can occur. Estimating your risk of a cancerous tumor can be done fairly reliably by considering some factors, including nodule size and appearance. The risk of a nodule being cancerous increases with size. Nodules that are less than 6 millimeters are the least likely to be cancerous. Solid, smooth-edged nodules are less likely than nodules with irregular edges to be cancerous. Age and health history. Being older increases the risk of a nodule being cancerous, as does having had prior cancer in the chest and being a current or past smoker. Pace of changes over time. Growing and changing nodules are more concerning than stable ones. Growth or other changes can be determined by comparing your current imaging test with a past imaging test if available. Using clinical experience and possibly a risk calculator, your doctor can determine the odds of a nodule being cancerous. Very low risk nodules may require limited follow-up imaging. Higher risk nodules will likely have additional follow-up when added with added imaging or possibly tissue biopsy. Question: I had a fainting spell the other day, which was new for me. I don't feel unwell, but a friend I was with at times insists that I see my doctor. Is that necessary? Yes, see your doctor. Fainting or passing out, a temporary loss of consciousness, also known as syncope, is caused by insufficient blood flow to the brain. Some causes of syncope are fairly benign, such as from dehydration or during a frightening event, such as a blood draw. But there are potentially serious and even life-threatening causes, including heart and neurological conditions, especially in adults over 60. Your doctor will likely perform a detailed history to look for any medical, environmental, or behavioral factors that may have caused you to faint. For example, missed doses of a medication, prolonged standing, or anxiety in a crowd may contribute to syncope. A physical examination may offer important clues as well. This includes measurement of your blood pressure and heart rate, listening to your heart, and completing a neurological exam. Syncope occurs when your blood pressure falls too low, which may occur when your heart rate is excessively fast or slow, such as with an arrhythmia. A detailed history and exam may identify the cause of syncope. Often an electrocardiogram or ECG or additional heart testing will also be recommended to look for any abnormal heart rhythms. Management of syncope depends on the underlying cause. Most often it's just avoiding the triggers and recognizing warning signs. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy.